Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
While you're standing, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I told you I was going to preach this morning, part 2 of a message I started last Sunday morning. Well, that was my plan. That wasn't God's plan. So here I am. Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. Let me just read verses 1, 2, and 3. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? I want to ask you this question this morning. What would Christmas be like without Christ? It'd be just another sale. We'd get up, we'd start the new year with a whole lot more bills, and that's all it would be. Without the incarnation, man, what would Christmas be? What would life be without Christ? You say, Christmas would be meaningless without Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, life is meaningless without Jesus Christ. Let's just consider that this morning as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes and trust that God is going to bless. I'm told that in spite of December being the month that pretty much all of the world celebrates the most glorious message of all, God visiting this earth on behalf of sinful men, the Son of God being given a body that he might go to Mount Calvary and make a way for sinners to go to heaven. Most glorious message, we celebrate the incarnation, and in spite of that, December for some, it's a time where they're alone. And where they're empty. And with all of the great message all around them, on the inside, they're lost and they don't know truth. I'm told that between now and New Year's Day is the highest rate of suicides in the United States of America. Since the year 2000, suicide has increased by 32%. You know the biggest group of suicides? Men, 65 years of age and older. So why is that? Because they feel their life is a failure. Maybe they put all of their life and all of their stock in their kids. Maybe it was in fame. Maybe it was a business. They climbed that hill and they realized that they got the end of their life. It's empty. And that's what the preacher, that's the conclusion that he comes to here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Here's some statements I wrote down, not original with me. And I tell you, don't bite the devil's bait. The more you own, the less you have. The richer you are, the poorer your soul. One of the richest men that ever lived, John D. Rockefeller, has a great mausoleum in a cemetery in the Northeast. And right next to him is a pauper's grave. Both gone back to the dust. If what you live for are things, and this is a mistake. You know, God's ordained a family, but don't live for your kids. Live for God. And if you live for your kids, you're teaching your kids wrong because they're going to do the same thing. Or maybe they'll even be more narcissistic and live for themselves. We're to live for God. So here's David, or Solomon rather, the son of David. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. I trust this morning this will be a blessing to you. It was a time, Solomon wrote this at a time in his life when his heart had drifted from God. And he questioned the very meaning of life. And he was one man that had the wherewithal where he could climb every mountain. He could taste every event of mankind. And he did. And he came to a conclusion. Without Christ, life is meaningless. For those of us that are poor, and we all think we're poor, we think, man, we just get to the top of that mountain and I make X amount of dollars and then my life is going to be fulfilled. Can I tell you something? If you get to the top of that mountain and you don't waste your whole life climbing that mountain, when you get there, you're going to look around and you're going to say, is this all there is? Is this it? You know that in sports. You can win a state championship, and everybody in the world, everybody in the state dreams about winning a state championship, and you finally get to the top and you realize that was it. That was it. And in a few years from now, nobody's even going to know your name. Life without Christ is meaningless. And this is what the preacher, Solomon himself, there's a whole book dedicated to the fallacy of human reason without Christ. Solomon was, at this point in his life, an enigma. It was written by a backslider whose view was skewed because of the culture without Christ. It says in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That word vanity is found 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. The scripture also tells us that along with that book, that word vanity under the sun is found 27 times. So here's a preacher, here's the king of Israel, the son of David, and he's experienced life to its fullest. And what he writes it down by way of inspiration so that you and I will have record of this. The world offers nothing. Nothing. We're going to work through some of this in a quick fashion. But look what it says in verse 4. One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Listen, all you hardheads out there that think it's about your job, or you think it's about your money, or you think it's about popularity, fame, or fortune, you had better listen to the word of God this morning. One day you're going to be gone and everything's going to go on the way it is. I mean, one day Jesus is coming and one day this world is going to change. But as far as the culture of men, you don't even know what some of your forefathers looked like, let alone what their voice sounded like. As famous as they are, you don't know what they smelled like. You never were in their presence, and you don't know their name except maybe you read it somewhere or someone told you. You're going to be here and gone, generation after generation after generation. You say, "Well, preacher, then it's all meaningless." Without Christ, it is, but with Christ, altogether different. One generation passeth away, verse 5. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Sun comes up, sun goes down. The wind goeth toward the south, turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again unto his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea. Yea, the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Can I tell you this, and it's going to be said several times, but I need to say it several times this morning. You can work, you can find some kind of self-fulfillment, but just think about it. Everything you build, it's going to be passed on, and then it's going to be gone. Every bit of money you make, it's going to slip between your fingers, and it's going to be gone. You can't take it to the grave with you. Job said, naked came I into this world and naked will I return. Here's a modern paraphrase. You were born wet and hungry and then it gets worse. Period. Man, you cannot take it with you. What are you working for? What are you living for? What is your life about? The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians in chapter 2 that Christ is our life. It tells us in chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 that we are complete in Jesus Christ. Not in your job, not in your clothing, not in your friends. They all come and they all go. You're going to get to the end of your life and what's going to really count? Let's move on. Think about it again. Christmas without Christ. Verse 9 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new and hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that shall come after. I don't want to ride this too far, but even in our geographic area, people that used to live on a certain road, unless you were alive during their lifetime, the next generation doesn't know anything about them. They maybe built that farm over there, but they're gone. And that farm, what's left of it, it's still here. One day that's going to turn to dust as well. And so here's the preacher, Solomon, the son of David, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And if the wisest man that ever lived understood, came to the conclusion that everything is empty without Christ, how about we smarten up just a little bit and recognize that as well. He says here in verse 12, says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search. He looked everywhere, seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Human wisdom, again, without Christ. Verse 14, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, emptiness, and vexation of spirit. You say, preacher, man, it's an awful dark message to be preached during the Christmas season. I want you to know there's a light. I want you to know there's a reality. And you're not going to find it in your garage. And you're not going to find it in your living room. And you're not even going to find it in your children. You'll find it only in Jesus. I want, when this life is done, I think I said this last Sunday morning. I pray that I have the opportunity. If I'm not alive when the rapture takes place, if I die before the rapture, with my last breath, I want to be praising God. I want to give him glory for all he's done in my life. And so now I've been here 43, it'll be 44 years this coming January. 44 years. Say, preacher, what would you do better? What would you do different? I'd serve God better. But as far as what God has called me to do, I wouldn't trade my life for anything in the world. God could have gotten a whole lot better than me. I understand that. But I thank God that somehow, some way, I and you both have the opportunity to punch a hole in the dark. We have the opportunity to tell others about Jesus. We have the opportunity to carry the light into the dark recesses of the culture in which we live. Hence, God's ordained the New Testament local church. And if the preacher Solomon, the king of Israel, the son of David, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and we're not going to be able to preach everything I wanted to preach this morning, so jump over to chapter 2 right now. But if he come to this conclusion, life without Christ being preeminent and first place in my life, it's all empty. It's vexation. That's a conundrum. That is a struggle. That's where Job says man is born unto trouble. Life is full of trouble. Man, and life is full of hard work. And if you don't like work, you're not gonna enjoy life. That's a sad truth. But on top of that, if you'll put Jesus Christ first in your life, then no matter what small job you have in this world in which we live, you'll find complete fulfillment and complete peace. Say, preacher, I'm an old man and I wasted my life. Give the rest to God. Give whatever you got left to God. Say, preacher, I'm a young man, I'm a young woman. The writer of Ecclesiastes, the preacher says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, serve now your creator in the days of your youth. Because can I tell you this? You're not going to be as strong later on. You're not going to be able to physically do the things that you planned on doing when you were an old man. One day when I'll get right with God when I'm an old man, and now you got no energy. And now you got arthritis. And now you got bad knees and bad hips. And now you don't think as good as you used to think. And my arthritis, right now, today, I feel great. Yesterday, I told people, man, it's like there's nothing going on in my lower back. This is great. But 2 days ago, three days ago, I guess it was. And you know, I find my arthritis makes my wife grumpy. I don't know why that is, but she's got a problem there. Let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2. First, he says here in verses 12, 13, 14, right on through out of chapter 1, he says, you know what? I tried it all, and I want to say this. Education is not the answer. Don't think it is. You can get educated and get all kinds of degrees, and it's easy to go to school. It is. When you get out into real life, students, the school part is easy. You know, you learn to take an exam, you take an exam. You got to write a theme paper. Yeah, a thesis, you write that theme paper. That's the easy part of life. When you get out and you start to have to live just a little bit of life. Education, you can get a list of degrees as long as both my arms and longer, and some people do, because it is easy to stay in school. And you get all these kind of degrees, and it makes you smart, and you end up going to hell smart. What kind of sense is that? It doesn't help your family. It doesn't, there's no wisdom. There's no Jesus sitting on the throne of your life, and you make a mess when you finally get the opportunity. Verse 1 of chapter 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, partying. Therefore, enjoy pleasure And behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doth it? And the party life, the life of pleasing yourself, doing that which is comfortable. If it, like they said in the 70s, if it feels good, do it. Man, that's it. That kind of life is empty, empty, empty. King Solomon said, listen, I lived that for a while. There's nothing there. There is nothing there. It's completely empty. It is vanity. And to live for self-pleasure, I think God wants us to enjoy life. I think that when my heart is in touch with God, he gives me the desires of my heart and I enjoy every step of life. But my life isn't about pleasing Tim Rader. That can't be what it's about. That's empty. Remember when I bought that Harley Davidson? I was about 55 years of age. And man, I was having a time of my life in that Harley Davidson. Hey, my kids are all growing up. Man, I don't need to do this. And I remember Josh saying to me, Dad, what are you buying a Harley for? I say, oh, I'll call it a midlife crisis. I was 55. He said, Dad, you're going to live to be 110? You're way past your midlife. What do you do with that Harley? And I remember I was standing at Brother View's funeral in Gladstone, Michigan, at the Baptist church there. And I was standing at the head of his casket, and he had a Harley Davidson, and he was hit in an intersection, and it wasn't even his fault, and he was dead, and he was in heaven, and he was killed. And I remember hearing those words, and I remember standing at the head of the casket and telling God, God, if you want me to sell that Harley Davidson, I'll sell it. You know, you can't be, and I enjoyed it, but it can't be about pleasure. And you don't work in order to spend all your time vacationing. It's empty. I'm just telling you, it's empty. You'll find that out eventually. Hope you find that out. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Remember who said that? Say, oh, it says eat, drink, and be merry in the Bible. Who said that? Somebody tell me. The fool. The fool said that. Let's go to verses verse three, chapter two. I made I sought for mine heart, booze, drugs, all that kind of thing. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. 70 times, over 70 times, strong drink is condemned in the word of God. But Solomon said, man, I tried it. It's empty. It didn't do anything for me. In fact, it'll make you stupid is what it does. And you do things and say things that you would never say when you're in your right mind. But when you're under the control of that spirit, that's another thing altogether. And make you, I've got a brother in heaven. I believe he's saved. I believe he's in heaven. I believe he got born again. But he got messed up when he was growing up. Man, he lost his wife. He lost wife number two. He lost his family. He lost his kids. He lost his job. This is all because of alcohol. He lost every opportunity he had, and then he eventually lost his life. That's because of booze. And that kind of stuff is all over not my immediate family right now, but the family that I grew up in. Before Jesus, before Dad got saved, before Mom got saved. Man, all my aunts, all my uncles, and I think all of them eventually got born again. But before that, they were all a bunch of drunks. And it was calamity and tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Don't go there. Solomon said, man, you aren't going to find joy and peace in artificial stimulants, in fake life. That is a crutch. You don't even know what you do when you do it. It isn't even you that's doing it when you do it. It's unfortunate. You're not going to find it there. Verse 4, I got to move on here. I made me great works, and I builded me houses, and I planted me vineyards, and great accomplishments. They are wonderful. A man's accomplishments without Christ are nothing more than sandcastles. They may last a little longer than the next wave, but they're here and they're gone. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. And I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And land, there's something about land holdings that you know, you kind of have it in your hand. And every farmer knows what this is about, but don't make that your life, your kingdom. That's a mistake. Great accomplishments. Maybe you're a businessman and you've got great accomplishments. Don't go there. Verse 7 speaks of power. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. And Solomon, if there was ever a rich man, a powerful man, it was King Solomon. The army, the military of Israel had reached its zenith. Its land holdings had reached its zenith under King Solomon, the wisest man on earth. The whole world came to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God Jehovah. Solomon knew what power was. Solomon understood what military strength was. And he says, listen, that is not where it's at. Riches, that don't make it either. Look at verse 8 again. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me singers of women, women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments that are of all sorts. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Riches are not the answer. You cannot buy happiness. Say, preacher, I'd like to try once. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't buy salvation. You can't buy a relationship with God. Peter said in chapter 1 and verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Can't buy your way into heaven from your vain conversation or empty life. That sounds a little bit like Solomon, doesn't it? Received by tradition from your fathers. Not enough money to buy forgiveness of sins, but with the precious blood of Christ. Of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Riches are not the answer. How much money do you need in your savings account to have the peace of God? It's always just a little bit more. And it's always just a little bit more. And it's an elusive dream. And it's bait by Satan. And he's pulling you away from God. And Solomon recognized this. He was a wise man. He did have the presence of God in his life. He did come to the proper conclusions, and he wrote it down in his wisdom, under inspiration. He wrote it down for you and for me. Money is not the answer. Verse 8, music is not the answer. Music is a powerful thing. It is, but it's empty. Confession. What channel is it? Public channel. What is that channel? W, whatever it is. You know, what is that? Not public radio, but public TV. Anyway, that doesn't matter. So last night, between the football games, man, I hate halftimes in those football games. What a waste of time. So I went up two channels, and there it was these old singers from the 50s and 60s, doo-wop groups and all that kind of stuff. But there was one singer, and I can't remember his name now, but he was 93 years old, and a guy helped him out on the platform. Helped him out and walked him out there, and he stood up there like a corpse, and he sang one of his old songs, and he was actually ill-shaven. He had a little red beret and a red coat on, and he never moved more than this the whole time he was singing. But the song brought me back, and like to my childhood, and music is a powerful thing. That's why the devil uses it. And without Christ, all it is a bunch of meaningless melodies that don't bring any peace. Don't bring any joy. And Satan, chief musician, right, of heaven, the choir director of heaven, man, he knows what music's all about. And Solomon said, music without Christ, nothing. It's empty. Don't go there. Look at verses 10 and 11. I gotta start wrapping this up already. Almost. Verse 10 says, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. He's saying, life without God, can I summarize the whole book? Life without God is meaningless. But he does say, number two, but there is an event that is common to all men. Verse 12 says, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw the wisdom, that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Verse 24, there is nothing, before I read that, one event happeneth to all. Go to chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also was vanity. because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set them in them to do evil. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Man, wicked man, totally misunderstands the long suffering of God. Solomon said, here's the wicked man, he does evil, and he isn't judged of God immediately, and he thinks he must be all right. And totally misunderstands the long suffering of God. By the way, that one event that is common to all men that Solomon referred to is called death. It is death. Verses 10 and 11 of chapter 9. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. If you're going to do something, you better get it done now. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not with the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. There is an event that is common to all, and it is the event called death. It is appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And after that, the judgment. Misunderstood. Life. Thinking is about things. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, a man's life is not measured, does not consist of the things in which he owns. Everything you own is going to be left behind. You say, well, the next generation will get it. Oh, for a while. Some of them will probably sell it. They say the normal inheritance lasts 18 months. You know, but and if it goes through them, you know what eventually is going to happen? It'll turn to dust. It's all empty without Jesus. Look at chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. You can be forgiven in half the tick of a clock if you call out to God asking for forgiveness of sins. You can be forgiven quicker than I can put the gospel message into words if you'll just call out to him for salvation. Right. If you're here right now and you're not born again, you need to come to Christ. The last couple of verses of Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. Let's just go right there. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Can I say this? Only Jesus satisfies the soul. Amen. Only Jesus can give complete peace. Think about Christmas without Christ. Well, there would be no Christmas. It'd be another secular holiday. That's what it is for most people now anyway. Without Christ, without an incarnation, life would be meaningless. What would life be without Christ? Meaningless. Your life. What are you doing for God? What will stand the test of time and eternity? What kind of treasures are you laying up in heaven? Or what are you doing? You know, some of the people that are seemingly having the biggest time, because every family goes through great tragedies. Some don't go through it for years. I wondered about that when I was young in the ministry. Because when I was young in the ministry, all my cousins were dying violent deaths. I mean, right here in this area. Most of them right around the M129 area. I mean, I was afraid to hear the phone ring in the middle of the night, because it was always somebody from the hospital or somebody saying, Chip, Daryl's dead. Chip, Kenny's dead. Person after person. And I remember thinking, I look at all the other people in our area, and it's like they weren't going through those tragedies. But you know what I found as I lived life? Eventually they did. And only what's done for Christ will last. What is life without Christ? Solomon said it's empty. Vanity. Meaningless. Don't get to the top of the mountain and waste your life climbing that mountain and have nothing for God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.